You know, I'm going to open up. We're going to just kind of set the foundation this morning with a couple scriptures and then get into, we're just going to talk to you this morning, kind of talk about the Word, about our church, about our lives here. But I'd like to just set the stage with Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12. This one is from the original King James Version. It says, "To whom he said," and I should say this is a prophecy. Isaiah, this is Old Testament. This is long before Jesus. He is prophesying about a time when Jesus would come, and he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." And then he says, "Yet they would not hear." And he's talking about how Jesus would be kind of, the Jewish people would turn their backs on the Messiah. But then we get to see in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, we get to see the fulfillment of that prophecy from Isaiah. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If you're tired this morning, I'm hoping I don't put you to sleep, but we're going to be talking about rest. And if I do put you to sleep, I'll just say you received the blessing, and we won't judge you. We won't judge you for nodding off in church, even if you get the turkey neck or anything like that. We'll just say you received the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. If you got your announcement this morning, there's a little highlighted section there, and I'll just kind of tell you about that. It says that James and Brandy are on a sabbatical currently. So I was just going to tell you a little bit about the timeline there. Long before I was an elder here, and I believe it was Dean, Coach Campbell, who is also an elder, he started talking to James about the principle of Sabbath and about taking a sabbatical leave. And I'll be honest with you, being in the ministry for 20 years, there's not a lot of churches that allow this. The ones that do, that's where you should go find a job in the ministry. But it's a great practice. And Dean had been affiliated with a church with a pastor that did this regularly and started talking to James about it. And then about 3 to 4 months ago, the elders here started talking to him once again about it. And then, you know, just this past week or so, we started, you know, discussing again with him. And James says, "I think it is time. I'm tired. I'm weary, and I need to get into a recharge and refresh mode." So I just wanted to. That's a biblical. When we talk about Sabbath or sabbatical, that's a biblical term. And so, what does it mean for a pastor? What does it mean, you know, when the Bible talks about it? But what this is for when we talk about a pastoral sabbatical, it's a time to refocus. It's a time to renew, you know, their spirit and mind and body, and to ensure that they're not emotionally or spiritually drained, or in the ministry, we always use the term just burned out. And so it is a biblical principle, and it's a biblical command, not just a principle, it's a command that we are given to rest. We talk about, you know, the Sabbath being the day of worship. It was a day of rest. And there are Sabbath laws throughout the Old Testament, even declaring time of rest for animals. Yeah, many of us don't take breaks well. We don't rest well. If you take a day off, for me, I know I'm a busy person. When I take a day off, I get excited because then I get a to-do list for the house and I get to accomplish things. And I tend to judge myself based upon the check boxes I can fill. And I know that's not a healthy thing. I'm just telling you the way that my mind works. And so resting is sometimes difficult, but when even there is Sabbath law written into the Bible to make sure they give their animals, their beast of burden, rest. They, in every seventh year, they rested their fields for a full year. There was a law. They had to let them go and to lay fallow. And it's interesting because I was looking at this last night and how I thought we were really close and I couldn't remember, but every seventh year in, in every seventh year in Jewish law is a sabbatical year or a Shemitah. And that is the year we're in right now. And we're not under Jewish law, obviously, but there are oftentimes many spiritual principles that go along with that. And so this is a Sabbath year according to Jewish law. And not only that, we're in October, which is Pastor Appreciation Month. And a lot of times the only people that know that's in October is the pastors. And it is but we're looking at a Sabbath year, which is a time of rest and refreshing. And so I'm so happy that James and Brandy are doing that and taking a break. And I'll tell you, there is a weight that comes along with pastoring that is different from every other profession. And it is a profession. And now it may seem very kind of interesting to use that word, but most people know me just from the coffee shop, and that is our ministry, and that's what we do. But long before that, I was a pastor. I've been a pastor for many years in Houston. I was an executive pastor of a large church. We pastored a small church for a while, and that's the challenge because at the big church, we had a staff of pastors. We had a lot of people to spread the weight. But I will tell you, it is a difficult, sometimes lonely job, and it is exhausting. And I think the reason exhausting is that you continually pour out and pour out beyond what you have in reserve. And I think the reason you do that is because it's so rewarding. And because it's not a job, it's a calling in life. And so I think you just continue to pour out because you love people. I know that's what it was for us. And I'm speaking about this, not about myself, but about James this morning, and that he loves people. He loves you. And he gives, and he does so many jobs here. We're struggling with sound this morning, and used to be Liz back there, and James is trying to fill in and fill her shoes a little bit lately, and he's not here this morning. And look, we're missing both of them this morning. It's a tough job. It took its toll, and my wife's back with the kids this morning, but she'd be nodding her head. It took its toll on us. It was a difficult thing. And I know for us, we kept operating past probably the point of exhaustion until we hit that point of burnout. But so what does that mean to have our pastor on sabbatical? I would like to thank Dean and the elders that, years ago were suggesting this, because I think there's great wisdom in doing this. But for the next month here, what it means for us is that you get an opportunity to hear from some different folks. We're going to hear from some elders. We're going to hear from a guest speaker. And so that's kind of what that's going to look like here on Sundays. And then if you need anything, that normally I don't know how many people here run to James and call James. I don't know what that looks like for him. I know me personally, I showed up at his front door before broken and a mess, and he just, all right, come on in. That's just the way. I've showed up at the office before unexpected and be like, I need you to pray for me, Pastor. And I bet that happens all day long with him because he's so receptive and open and wants to bless people. But I don't know how many times that happens, and I don't know how many times his phone rings every single day. But I imagine what I would like is for us to let him have some rest time and some recovery time. And so on your bulletin this morning, you'll see down at the bottom, we have contact information for the elders. And if you're an elder this morning, I just want you to stand up. I don't know how many people know who we are. We got Judson right here. We got Mike in the back. And where's Terry? And Terry back there too. And then myself. And we're missing Coach Dean Campbell this morning. They're out. So thank you, gentlemen. So that's your That is your elders' phone numbers on the bulletin. If you need us, call us. And that is what we are here for. In the next month, I want to help my pastor. I want to help the one who is called to be my shepherd. That's what the Bible says. The pastor is a shepherd. Not only shepherds me, but the weight of that for me is that, you know, that is the pastor over my family. It's the pastor pastoring my children. So how my mindset is, how can I help him, especially James, because James is a doer. James is not somebody who takes time off and rest well either. That's why I understand his mindset. So we're almost like gonna force him to rest a little bit. But how can I assist him in this time? In the book of Exodus, is a great story that the Lord put on my heart this week. We're not going to read it. We're just going to talk about it. It's Exodus chapter 17. There's a story, and it tells us about a battle between Joshua and the Amalekites. And the Amalekites have come up against the Israelites in a place called Rephidim. And this is, this is like the stuff that, as a preacher, gives me chills. I'm reading this, and I was like, every time I see a name of something I don't know or a new name, I'm like, I'm going to look up, see what that name, what it means. And it's the literal translation for Rephidim is place of rest. So here we go. We have a battle over this territory, a battle taking place literally at what is called the resting place. And Exodus 17 tells us that Israel's leader at the time is Moses. And Moses says to Joshua, choose some of our men and go up and fight the Amalekites. And he says, and tomorrow I'm going to stand on top of the hill and I'm going to hold the staff of God in my hand. And so Joshua goes down, he takes some men, and they begin to fight the Amalekites in the valley of Rephidim. And Aaron and Hur, who were kind of, Aaron's a priest, Hur is just a kind of man from the tribe of Judah, and they go up onto the top of the hill to be with Moses. And the story is told that as long as Moses has his hands held up, holding the staff of God, that the Israelites would prevail. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites would prevail. Now think about it. How long do you think you can just hold your hands up without them getting tired? We think that's simple, right? We'll hold our hands up. When I used to be more into, you know, working out, which obviously has been a long time, but I used to do a little training and hitting the heavy bag, and I always wanted to see, can I last just a 5-minute round, you know, and just be constantly moving and just light, not even really throwing anything into it. And 5 minutes feels like an eternity, and you realize, nope, I am in bad shape. The amount of strength it takes to just move your arms like that for 5 minutes straight and hitting a bag, well, it's the same thing. Just holding your hands up, the longer that it does that, the more tired you get. And this is what happened. It was very important. It says, as long as his hands were up and he was holding the staff of God, that the Israelites would prevail. But when he lowered them, the Amalekites would overtake them. And Moses grew tired. And Aaron and Hur are there. And they're just there. I think at the time they're doing nothing other than emotional support. And that's not downplaying it. Emotional support is important. But all of a sudden they see what is happening. And they take a stone and they prop up Moses and give him something to sit on. But his hands are down and the Amalekites are taking over the Israelites. And this is what they do. One man gets on either side of him and props up his arms. And they began to literally hold his hands up into the air. And when it happens, the Israelites take over one more time and they become victorious. You know, Moses is their leader. He's the one who is in charge of providing inspiration and direction. In this capacity, I'd say he is their pastor, but he has a responsibility to maintain a posture that produces victory, but it also produces weariness at the same time. And I'll tell you what, that right there, that sums up the role of a pastor. He has a responsibility to maintain a posture that produces victory and weariness at the same time. And the weariness overtakes him at time, and people come alongside and they lift him up and they hold him up. They literally hold his hands up. Now, I know Aaron is the brother. Aaron is the priest. I expect Aaron to be there. And Hur is the one I looked at and was like, this is so interesting because he comes out of nowhere. Really not much said about him other than we know what tribe and what lineage he is. But he comes there and he comes alongside Moses to equip and support him in the task that God has given to Moses. Imagine coming alongside and you say, hey man, every time that staff is up, we win, and Moses gets tired. Hur could have come up there and he said, I'll just take the staff. I'll hold it up. He didn't do that. He didn't rush to pick up the staff. He didn't rush to go down to the battle himself. I would have a hard time doing that, standing up there and watching my men fail and my men get overcame. For me, I would want to run down and fight. But what Hur did, he recognized there was a dependence on God, and he recognized that Moses was God's man at this time, and he wanted to fulfill Moses' responsibility. And how can he assist him? How can he be a supportive friend? And how can he support the faithful leader that he had in Moses? And that's the question I'm asking myself right now, because I know it's going to be a little different around here, right? James and Brandy are gone, and that's just anything that's different is just weird, you know? And you're like, oh, there's somebody's new is up there, and they're missing. But as a church body, how can we support them? How can we be like Aaron and Hur and come lift up their arms as they continue the work of the Lord and as they renew themselves and replenish their energy? And I know James, this is not a vacation for him. This is a time of recharging. And he's going to be, you know, I know this man. You know him. He's a man that talks to God and hears from God. And that's what this is about, is about him talking to God about direction and a word from the Lord. And I know he is going to be in time praying for you, but how can we support our friends during a sabbatical leave? And number one is that we can pray for them. And that's easy. I mean, we just say, oh, we're going to pray for them. Well, specifically, as someone who has been in a spot like this, and as far as the role of pastor, I can tell you how I think you should pray specifically for them. Number one is that you pray for him and his family. When I was pastoring specifically, and I'm a hard-headed guy, and I will keep going until, if I have a job to do, I'll keep doing it until I'm physically unable to do it or just about dead. But when I'd have attacks, attacks, there's a whole new world and level of spiritual attacks when you are a pastor of a congregation. But it felt like when attacks on me weren't successful, then I felt like the enemy just sent those to my family. And, you know, mess with my family, you'll distract me, you'll mess with me mentally, and you'll change the perspective. So I would say, as a pastor, how can you pray for a pastor? Number one is pray for his family. Number two would be to pray for his physical and his mental strength. And then number three is pray for rest and refreshing. And then pray for his protection. I'm talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual attacks upon him and upon Brandy. And I consider them a team. This is a, you know, and we don't call her Pastor Brandy. And if you did, you might get hit. And that might be fun to watch. And I might try that now that it's coming out of my mouth. So we don't address her in that way, but they are very much a ministry team and a powerhouse team at that. But so when I talk about praying for our pastor, I'm talking about as a couple, the two of them combined. I'll tell you, I'm not going to keep you too much long this morning. I'm going to share with you, I had a dream. I bet it's been 10 years, and I don't think other than Lisa, I don't believe I've shared this with anybody. It was very interesting, and it was very vivid, and I remember it as well today as the morning I woke up, and interesting to me. I don't often have vivid dreams like this. You know, I have the crazy dreams where you wake up and you're like, I have no idea what that was. Oh, yeah, it was buffalo wings at midnight with my son. You know, something like, you know, you may have those really wild dreams. This one felt different, and it felt very spiritual. And I believe God speaks to us in that way. And that's what the Word says. He says that, you know, is it old men will dream dreams and young men will have visions, or is it the vice of the verse? I don't know which one I am now. If I'm having dreams, does that mean I'm now old? Let's say it's young men will dream dreams, and that would make me feel better this morning. It's one way or the other, but visions are while you're awake, you know, and dreams are while you're asleep, and the Lord does use those and speak to His people that way. But I had a dream, and we were on a battlefield, and it seemed very clearly like almost, you know, almost World War II-ish era. I would have imagined almost like, you know, a massive casualty loss. It seemed like beaches of Normandy or something along those lines. And there was a medic going person to person, and he was kneeling down, but he wasn't performing any medicine. He was praying over people. And I realized in the dream, and I don't know how I realized, you just realize it's a dream, you know, and it became very clear that this medic, even though he was wearing, you know, a cross on him like a medic, that he was a pastor. And I was viewing this dream, and instead of standard what you would expect to be weaponry at the time, there were arrows flying. It was, even though, you know, it's a dream, it's a weird one. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't bullets and guns. There were arrows. And I remember this pastor kneeling down and caring for all of these people who are gravely, gravely wounded. And I remember seeing arrows flying. And I stood up and I held up a shield to just block him so that he could continue to perform his duties and his service and his ministry. And I woke up and I began thinking about that. And it's interesting to me, I was a pastor, but in this dream I wasn't a pastor. I was something else. I was, you know, I was a shield or a buffer. And again, it's been with me for a while. And I began thinking about it last night, about that dream. It kind of came back to my mind. I started thinking about the church body. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I began to think about our pastor, about someone who finally says, you know what? I need a break. I'm exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted. I'm emotionally exhausted. And I told him, I said, I'm really proud of you, James. I'm really proud of you for actually saying, hey, I think I need a break. I need to recharge for a little bit, because most people don't do that. Most people don't recognize it. And I said, I'm really proud of, you know, the guys that were around him that were encouraging this as well and given permission to just say, hey, I'm going to step away and take a break. And then I started thinking about, I love our pastor. I love him. Started thinking about how he is the guy. If that battlefield is our spiritual world in journey here, he's that guy. He's that medic dodging arrows all day long to minister to people who are wounded. I started thinking, if that's my son wounded on a battlefield, James is his pastor, and he's dodging arrows to go and save a soul. My job is to stand holding the shield of faith, to block arrows, to make sure that he continues in his ministry and his calling, to save as many as he can in this church and in this community. And I just wanted to share that this morning with you. I'm thinking about him and what is really this morning. I said, I just want to talk about maybe what's our role in helping him in a sabbatical time and blessing him. And it's holding that shield up. It's taking the blows, even taking the arrows, those fiery darts from the devil. We do that through our prayer life and through supporting him. So I want to ask you this morning, if you'll stand with me, if you'll be one of those guys, you can all stand, but I just want to say, if you'll be one of those people who will commit in the next few weeks to pray daily for our pastor, to pray daily for James and Brandy as they're recharging themselves, will you be one of those people who is willing to stand? We need some strong men who say, I'll stand and I will be a buffer for our pastor spiritually. I'll hold up a shield. We need some great ladies who will be prayer warriors and intercessors and who will stand up and say, hey, he may be moving along the battlefield. He may be ministering to people who are wounded and who are hurting. It's every day for the ministry. And we need those who will be a shield bearer in this time. We bow our heads together this morning. Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for your word, for your life-giving word. And today, I thank you for our pastor. Oh, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and it had almost slipped by me. I hadn't even done anything. I hadn't even said anything to my pastor and my friend. But I think the greatest appreciation I can give him is my commitment to hold him up in prayer. And if he's weary from doing your work, the work that blesses me daily, the work that blesses my family, the work that blesses this town, if his arms are weary from holding up the staff of God, I want to be one of those men that props him up. I want to be one of those men that comes alongside and can minister to the man that ministers to me all the time, that can pray for him, can pray for his family, can pray for his children and his marriage, and pray for Brandy, and pray, Lord, that you would wash over him with a spirit of refreshing and renewal and rest, and give him fresh oil and fresh anointing in this season and in this time, God. As I know, he is probably already itching and ready to come back and love on this church and on this people in a way that he does so well. Lord, I thank you for this congregation today, for those already in their heart that are making a commitment to be a shield bearer and a prayer warrior, specifically for the man of God in this church. We love you. We love you, Lord. I love this people. We ask all things in your wonderful and holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you this morning. Love on somebody today. If you need a bulletin with elder information, I want you to grab that at the door. And if you need us, please call us. God bless you.